Good morning. I'm Phil McGarvey. I'm not Pastor Mike. Did you know that? Pastor Mike called me the other day, and he, on when was it? Friday night or something? Friday night. He was under the weather. Are you his wife?
I am. I'm sorry.
Got. So I So I've heard that you passed something off to each other. Is that the same thing, or is it? Okay, all right. I'm glad to be with you this morning, and I'm sorry that Mike is sick, but we want to pray for him. Are there other prayer requests we need to pray about today? Anything that is on your heart and mind that we want to just lift up to the Lord in prayer? Sicknesses, or if the list is not too long, that's fine, and we'll get through that. Well, before I begin our message, let's pray, and let's pray for Pastor Mike. Dear Lord, I pray that you would just bless Pastor Mike today with his with your healing, with your blessing, encouragement, and rest that he needs. I thank you for your word, and I pray that it would be powerful in our lives. I thank you for the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, that as we have just heard and sung about you being our key victory in life, that we, through you, we are more than conquerors. And we thank you for who you are. We recognize you as our King, our Lord, our Savior, our resurrected great physician. He is all that you are, all that we need for life and godliness. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12. It's towards the back of your Bible. You got to kind of turn from the maps to the, you know, to the concordance, to the Revelation, and then kind of back a few pages through the last letters to Hebrews. If you get to 1 Timothy, you've gone just a little, you're not quite there yet. Hebrews chapter 12. This week, I decided to preach a sermon that had something to do with the Olympics. Wonder why. In 1996, Patty, my wife, is sitting over here. We just celebrated our 37th wedding anniversary last week, and so we are just, well, we're still in love. How about that? Yeah. And we enjoyed, in 1996, we enjoyed traveling as a family to the 1996 Atlanta Olympics, and taking that in, we got to see two events and also be on the Atlanta subway with journalists and lots of people from all over the world. It was pretty cool to be a part of that. And then also we got stuck on that subway too for a little while, but I remember that. The Olympics is always fascinating to all of us around the world. If you've been watching, you just kind of like, you see the storylines of various hardships that athletes have gone through to get where they've gone, the sacrifices that they have made. In fact, we live in a day where we all want shortcuts, but is there any shortcuts to being an Olympic athlete? No. You don't get to turn, you don't get to use the remote control to get myself to be an Olympic athlete. It's just sheer, hard, long hours of work to get there. It takes some natural talent and skill too, obviously, but it has lots to do with that. In fact, Simone Biles, who won the Olympic gold for what was the all-around gymnastics, women's gymnastics, her mom told a story recently where she said to her mom, Simone told her mom, "Well, Mom, I have lost so much. By giving up public school, I lost a lot of friends because we don't have the same interests. I don't do this hanging out, whatever that is. I've never gone to someone's party. I don't know what they do there. I've never gone to a homecoming, never a prom. I gave up a lot, but I made the right decision because look what I've accomplished." Isn't that powerful? In the Bible here in Hebrews chapters 11 and 12, we are challenged in our faith to live a life of faith. In fact, Hebrews chapter 11 talks about without faith, it is impossible to please God. Have you ever considered that? You can't please God unless you have faith. And so then after Hebrews 11:6 says that, the rest of chapter 11 is all listing story after story after story of men and women of faith throughout Hebrew history, talking about how of living people who lived by faith, not seeing the results of their faith. In fact, they lived and died without actually seeing the results of their faith. They just lived the faith, one after another. The writer of Hebrews is challenging his readers, including us, who are living in a day when Christians back then and now today are under persecution. If you read the first couple of chapters, you see these Christians had been scattered by persecution. They are now spread out around the Roman Empire. And he challenges Christians to live a life of faith, understanding that we might not see the results of our faith, but we're still supposed to live it. This isn't a message, by the way, that you won't hear on TV. You will see on TV Christian preachers preaching how if you just have enough faith, you'll get something. All right? The writer of Hebrews has a different perspective. Might I add that the writer of Hebrews is preaching the Bible, because it is the Bible. The writer of Hebrews says if you live by faith, you aren't promised anything except eternal life and the right rewards with God. And so he lists all those people coming before us, Moses and Daniel and all these great saints living the life by faith, dying for their faith, doing all this sacrifice by faith. And then in Hebrews chapter 12, we come to chapter 12, and Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, and of course, if you see in the Bible the word therefore, you got to wonder what it's there for, right? And so what is therefore there for? It's therefore there because I can't get myself tongue-tied here. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. So who are those witnesses? Chapter 11. All of those people have gone, run the race before us. They have served their lives in faithfulness to their Lord, whether or not they saw the results of their faith. Whether or not. In Hebrews chapter 12, it gives us three viewpoints, I believe, to handle the hardships that we go through in life. Now, the Christians in the Roman Empire back then, the Hebrews that he was writing to, were suffering for their faith in that they had to be meeting secretly. They were being hunted down. They were suffering, in some cases, dying for their faith. So far in America, I haven't seen that happening recently. But it is happening around the world. Our brothers and sisters around the world are suffering for their faith. We have people have died under the hands of ISIS and other groups, state terrorism against Christianity and other groups too. And so he gives us these three viewpoints that we need to maintain if we're going to live a life through the life of hardship. And by the way, if you get hardship in the Christian life, join the club. All right? If you just recently come to salvation in Christ, praise the Lord. You now are on course to live a life of hardship with the Lord at your side. But you have a choice, hardship with the Lord or hardship without the Lord. Which do you want? That's what you want. You want the with the Lord. So the first thing you see here is in chapter 12 is that since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and I'm imagining, of course we're in the Olympics, I'm imagining the stadium full of people, right? A crowd of witnesses. You're looking at this, we're surrounded by this cloud of witnesses. And I always think of a crowd of witnesses as like a state of expectancy. Like we can't wait for it to happen. Have you ever been part of that where, whether it's a concert that you're going to, or maybe you paid $100 for a ticket for something, and there's the warm-up to there's the anticipation. You've been waiting for this for weeks, months, or something, and you wanted to be a part of this event, whatever it is. maybe it's Sunday morning church, right? Or something like that. You can hardly wait. This expectancy is built up. In this case, many people have gone before. In a runner's case, it could be like this week we're listening to Olympic athletes on TV talk about they are being supported by the past athletes in their discipline. So one Katie Ledecky talked about the other women swimmers back in the 1960s and the 1970s that had gone before her and set the pace for her to aspire to. And we as Christians can also think that way. We can think throughout these chapters in chapter 11 of Hebrews where all the people that have gone before us, or we can think of our own family, the people that have gone before us that way. Maybe it was your grandmother that has paved the way for your faith, or perhaps your father, or perhaps your distant relative that kind of started the family tree off in a life of faith. This coming Saturday, my family is getting together in Detroit, Michigan. My family, the big family, the extended family. My grandmother is still alive. She is celebrating her 100th birthday a week from Monday, but we're all getting together on the weekend before her birthday from all over the country, gathering together. And I really can say that I probably would not be living here as a pulpit preacher. I'm a chaplain at Carl Hospital. I've been ministering for 35, 37, 40 years almost in various ways. If it weren't for Grandma, I might not be here in the ministry. She gave birth and raised two sons who both ended up in the ministry. She and then most of her grandchildren are serving God in various places throughout ministry all over the United States. Her great-grandchildren are also serving God in many different ways. And now she has great-great-grandchildren, one or two, that are babies, but just an amazing woman who Patty and I remember, even in her 80s, she was getting phone calls from women who were struggling in their 20s with drugs and alcohol and